ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the...
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
The Super Regionals are underway. LSU tomorrow, VCU Vandy, the first game of the day coming up. Jordan Kleber, a.k.a. the intern, will be giving you score updates throughout the show. This hour, jam-packed, more room for calls. In hours 2 and 3, plenty of sound that we've yet to get to from this week from your New Orleans days. Sean Payton spoke again yesterday.
He did.
Yeah, did he say anything different?
Come on. What? He did talk about hockey.
Oh, he did, huh?
He talked about hockey.
Hey. Let me tell you something. But what do you have over there? 11-6?
11-6.
15-2, baby. 15-1.
Yeah.
Did he mention how the quarterbacks look? I mean, like, you know.
He touched on it.
Can you make an assessment on how they walk to and from each classroom?
He touched on it. The longest bite of the whole thing was the hockey bite, though.
Incredible. Your New Orleans Saints, baby, just weekends away. Taking on the Jordan Love-led Packers, man.
I told you.
Stop it.
Win.
Stop it. And what happens if Jordan Love starts and just shreds your defense, huh? What about that? You know what? We're not going to do that today. We're going to have fun.
Yeah, it's Friday.
Welcome to June 11th edition of the Sports Hangover. Plenty to get into today. Last night, pair of basketball games. Was it just one? No, it was two. And I knew that because the Bucks, Jrue Holiday, you and I were texting with the Graf and Daniel Salison. We're having a group text going back and forth. Jrue with a massive play. They went 86-83 to at least get game one there. What did they call it? Survive. And they're in it. I don't know if they're in it yet. Nobody could really shoot for about 4 minutes in that game. Huh, Jordan? Lots of ISO ball.
I'm pretty sure that tied the lowest scoring game this NBA season for the team that won. So, like, yep. I think 85, what was it? I'm trying to find it. 86-83.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was the lowest score.
Yeah, it was,
for both teams.
Exactly. 117-111 Jazz over the Clippers. Donovan Mitchell, yet again, doing incredible work. We're going to talk with Ali Cosell coming up at the bottom of the hour, specifically about him. And remember, I mentioned that he had a tweet a while back, Jordan, mm-hmm. about Donovan Mitchell. And he put a list of names as to who he would jump ahead of on that list of names. And everybody was on his comments was like, nobody, dude, what's wrong with you? What are you on? And all this other stuff. I'm like, oh, my gosh. But I thought it was interesting that no one was kind of putting him in there. And I asked yesterday, I mean, where is he? Is he a superstar in this league? Is he top 10? Is he top 15? Because I mentioned, if you don't feel that he's like that, then where does that put Zion and all those other things? Well, Jordan, you remember where you were January 21st this year, 2021? Remember?
Probably watching some basketball.
Probably
game.
Watching a game with the Utah Jazz. And as a matter of fact, it was the Pelicans. There it is. Utah, New Orleans. There's an L next to that. Pels. What?
Nothing.
Yeah. Didn't win that game. After the game, that's how I remember this, because we were watching, right, on TNT?
We were.
Shaq said this and had a very awkward exchange with Spider.
Spider, this is Shaq. I said tonight that you are one of my favorite players, but you don't have what it takes to get to the next level. I said it on purpose. I wanted you to hear it. What do you have to say about that?
All right. That's it.
That's it?
All right. That's it.
Okay, cool.
I mean,
I wanted you to hear it.
I've been hearing, well, Shaq, I've been hearing that since my rookie year. You know, I'm just going to get better and do what I do.
Good.
At the end of the day.
Well, that's what I wanted you to hear you say.
Yes,
love
sir.
Your game, brother. Keep it up.
Appreciate it.
Shaq did that on purpose. He wasn't being disrespectful. What he was saying is he thinks he can be better. And he was trying to take him to that next level. What Donovan Mitchell has done in this postseason has been insane, hasn't it?
Oh.
I mean, it's insane.
I don't.
Well, first off, he hasn't. The Jazz have not lost a game that he's played in this postseason. No disrespect to Denver. No disrespect to the Clippers. Give me Jazz and Suns in the Western Conference Finals. I mean, my goodness. Again, I'm going to go over this with Ollie Cosell, but I wanted you to hear that because that's being talked about in Mike Greenberg this morning on his show was touching on it about is he the question. Jordan, you don't think they listen to the show, huh? But he literally asked this morning on Get Up to Jalen Rose and also on his radio show right after he gets off of Get Up. He actually said and asked, you know, is Donovan Mitchell a superstar? Where do you put him? And again, I don't want to sound like a broken record, okay? But you better have a backcourt. I mean, huh? You better have a backcourt. I mean, you just, thanks for playing if you don't have a backcourt, right? Like, thanks for playing. Because you're not going to,
or if you don't have a guard.
Anyway, so we'll touch on that here in a little bit. John Morgan, Trey Morgan's father, LSU first baseman, won a bunch of accolades already this year for LSU. Tigers play tomorrow over in Knoxville against Tennessee. John Morgan will join us at 12:15. We'll chat with him. Rafael Esparza, 1:15. Marlon at 2:15. Leo Haggerty at 2:30. Rest of the way will be open. Lots of Saints sound and things of that nature. Want to bring in Jacques Doucet, though, to open things up. First guest of the show, you're the leadoff hitter, Jacques. How are you today, sir?
Well, I hope to do what Dylan Cruz did and hit it over the wall, the leadoff spot. So I'll do my best.
All right, man. Well, you know, I want to obviously get into the series and everything, but, you know, this week, lots of news, reports here and there. Is it Kevin O'Sullivan, the next head baseball coach? Is it, you know, Coach Casey? And, you know, by 3 o'clock, I'm listening to Matt Moscona right after us, who comes and follows us here on ESPN New Orleans, and he's like, an offer's been made by the end of the evening. Look, it's unlikely. Where are we with that? Even though I know we have a super regional tomorrow, but where do you think LSU is right now with that? Is it now not Casey, not Sullivan?
Well, it's definitely not as cut and dry as the Kim Mulkey hire for the LSU women's head basketball coach. I think that this thing has kind of splintered in several directions. I think 2 months ago, I think the money was on Kevin O'Sullivan. From what I understand, he had been vetted long ago. People had visited him in Gainesville, talked about big money to hire him as the head coach. I think he was the early leader in the clubhouse. I think some personal things with Kevin O'Sullivan has eliminated him from contention. I think that the Skip Berkman fraternity, so to speak, will be pushing hard for Mike Bianco to get the position. I think that that's going to be a harder sell with some other people, considering he's only been to Omaha one time in 2 decades at Ole Miss. You know, but people will say, well, the expectations, the resources, the stadium, things are not what they are at LSU. Pat Casey kind of came in out of the blue a few days ago. And I think this was, a matter of possibly Scott Woodward going for a big splash hire, a guy with a great resume, obviously. No one has won more national championships than Pat Casey in the last 20 years, I believe. He's won 3, but he retired. And, his love for the sport was waning. And this is not a job that you're going to come in half-cocked, the LSU job. And despite all his great success, the atmosphere here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana is night and day to the Pacific Coast, where everything's kind of laissez-faire to an extent with college baseball. And I think that there was just a ton of negative reaction the Heimlich, sexual offender that was on his baseball team later in his career, and the fact he never addressed it or talked about it or whatever. And there is some debate about that, that Heimlich, I think claimed that he was forced into confessing some things that he did, and it would have never gone public. It would have been off his record when he was 21, and the Oregon paper got a hold of it, and then it became public or whatever. But in today's climate, I think that the backlash for Pat Casey was just too fierce. And then you've got a guy like Cliff Godwin, who I believe is playing in a super regional today against Vanderbilt at East Carolina, who was a assistant for Paul Maneri when Maneri stepped in and really got things rolling in 2008 and 2009. Mm-hmm. And then I think there's some questions about maybe him as well. So I don't want to use the word circus, but it's not a cut and dry thing. And I'm just very curious about where it's going. And then just what's the sentiment if, you know, LSU goes in and wins two games in Knoxville and they're going to Omaha. And maybe the best guy is still coaching our team, you know, Paul Maneri. So I think Maneri was told before the year this was it, that he was going to be out. And but now he's going to do his best to make it the best swan song he's ever had, or you know, best swan song you could have. So just a very interesting situation with LSU baseball for sure.
No doubt. Runners on first and third, fourth inning. Vandy already leading 1-0. ECU on the field, so the Commodores threatening again. You know, it's interesting because I was this week, right? You're going, hey, this is one of the premier jobs. It is. It's the supports. It's the second sport on campus, et cetera, et cetera. And I just always wondered, especially when the Casey thing came out, Jacques, I'm sort of like, you know, do I want a guy that's 10, 15 years that's going to come into? And I know winning, and everyone says World Series and trips to Omaha and championships, it's not easy. So why not look at a guy that maybe has won at a different school, a different level, even maybe a different conference, but has won without nearly the resources and things of that nature, is young and energetic and hungry, you know, mind for the game, things of that nature. It's like, this is one of those things, especially after Sullivan wasn't the guy that you landed. Take your time and interview people and get a grasp of it, right? I mean, look, again, I don't want to compare, but you go back to Saban. Not a lot of people here went, the guy from Michigan State, what? And you saw what wound up happening. You get what I'm getting at?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that there is something to be said about hiring an up-and-comer. You know, that's always a debate, right, whether we're talking about Pelicans or LSU baseball. Do you want to try to get somebody who's up-and-coming, or do you want to try to hire a name who's going to be a big splash hire and a big press conference? And I think that LSU should get this right. And I was having a conversation with somebody who, you know, I really respect, and when it comes to talking college baseball and all that, and said, well, I mean, maybe just make Nolan Kane the interim coach for a bit and steady things and then find your guy, you know. But, yeah, I'm with you. I mean, even if Pat Casey would have taken that job, what is he going to do? He's going to coach for 3-4 years and then leave or retire again?
Right.
So, I'm with you there. Know what you're saying.
Finally, man, let's wrap up here. I know you got a few minutes. This is going to be a busy weekend for you, but this series, man, it was contentious when these two teams met earlier in the year, and it's sort of expected to be a tight series at best. So what do you think we see this weekend in Knoxville?
Well, they certainly are trying to drum up a professional wrestling atmosphere up there in Knoxville. I mean, they've got the T-shirts that say Retire Maneri in orange letters, and certainly, there was, you know, it took off on Twitter and social media when LSU went up there and got swept earlier in the year, and Coach Maneri came back and said that the fans were nasty and they were rude, and that the Tennessee team wasn't conducting themselves with class and all that. So that's a baseball bat to a hornet's nest this week. But I like what Maneri said yesterday when the team was leaving Ellis Box. You know, he said, I got a confident group of guys getting on that bus, and we're not going to be scared. We're not going to be intimidated. And, you know, it's going to be a crowd of 4,000 or so. It's not going to be like going to Ole Miss or Mississippi State or Arkansas. So it'll be very loud. But, you know, it's cliche, but it's just true. You know, you had so many guys last weekend for LSU play their best baseball of the season in a cluster of a weekend there, from a Jevin Coleman to a Drew Bianco to a Dylan Cruz to a Gavin Dugas. I mean, you had countless guys who played their best baseball of the season with their backs against the wall, and that's what it's all about. And so kudos to LSU, a season that was not very fun, a team that was going to be labeled as Paul Maneri's worst. Well, here they are. They at worst are one of the best 16 teams in the country, and that's not too shabby.
Two wins away from another trip to Omaha. Jacques Doucet, WAFB. Great job. Just go give him a follow. You should already, at Jacques Doucet. Thank you so much, sir. Enjoy the series and look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right, Gus. Hopefully, I did a decent job. I was kind of juggling a few things while I was talking to you here. But
no, the fact that you could do that and knock that out is very good, right, Jordan? Come on, a little round.
No,
of
you
applause.
Did a great job. Thank you so much.
Jack, you say leading things off today in the Sports Hangover. Thank you, bud. Appreciate it, man.
Okay, anytime.
For sure. All right, quick break. Hour one is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. You've been injured in an accident. Ring the King. 504-909-KING. One of the players that has helped LSU get to the Super Regional, Mr. Trey Morgan. Might earn pretty good. His father, John Morgan, is going to join us. Love to kind of get to know a little bit more about Trey and that path to Baton Rouge and maybe how he feels about this team's chances this weekend. We'll do that next when we come back on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
Clay Young here with John Conroy, the founder and owner of PestOp, your do-it-yourself pest control solution. Got a question for you, John.
Mm-hmm.
How do you control fleas?
Oh, that's a great question. I'm going to give you a secret.
Okay.
If I gave you something to treat the inside that killed the adults, the pre-adult stage, in 24 hours, you'd think I was a hero.
That's right.
And in 5 to 7 days, you'd think I was a goat.
Okay.
Because you got to retreat. People forget about the pupa stage. They are protected in that stage. They'll survive a nuclear holocaust.
Wow.
So I'm just telling you, it's going to take several treatments to get rid of them, whether you're treating the inside or outside.
I have watched you educate so many people on using your product. Tell us now where we can get it.
In Metairie, we're located at 3512 Severn Avenue next to the Pepper Mill. On the North Shore, we're at 1417 North Highway 190. That's in the same shopping center as Sherwin-Williams and Villery Florist. And on the West Bank, we're on the Palco just past the Harvey Bridge.
Because at Pest Stop,
we can help you with that.
Summer heat is approaching, and so are the Red Hot Deals.
Red Hot Deals.
At Craig LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. Shop online at CraigLeBlancToyota.com or at the store. Great offers like the sporty 21 Toyota Camry or the Corolla with class-leading gas mileage and complimentary 2-year maintenance. Or the stylish and dependable 2021 RAV4 and Highlander. Stop by Craig LeBlanc Toyota and make this a summer to remember with your new Toyota. Only at your number one volume dealer in Houma. Craig LeBlanc Toyota.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Avenue Wine and Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine and Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine and Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine and Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
Good afternoon.
Let's hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
LSU taking on Tennessee tomorrow. Got away today. ECU, by the way, got out of that inning. Vandy still leads 1-0. Pirates have a runner on first as they try to tie things off. As we welcome in Mr. John Morgan. Father of Mr. Trey Morgan, who is obviously having a tremendous season, named recently to the freshman All-American team, and obviously that just goes with the rest of the awards, second team All-SEC, freshman All-SEC, SEC All-Defensive Team. Good afternoon to you, John. How are you?
I am awesome. Gus, thank you for having me, first of all. Thank you very much for this opportunity.
For sure, man.
Pretty exciting time.
It is. And look, let's just kind of get to that aspect of it, and we'll kind of discuss a little bit about the journey with Trey, man, but you just heard Jacques Doucet from WAFB kind of go over the season, too. And look, every season, you never know what you're going to get. It can go up, it can go down, but you always hear people talk about how you finish. Has it been surprising to you to see what the Tigers have done in the last 7 days?
Yes. Let's go with yes on that one. Mm-hmm. You have to take COVID into account. You know that, I know that. You have to take COVID into account, and a lot of people are kind of alleviating the fact that a lot of the schools, especially the D1s, the Power Fives, and the mid-level schools, they redshirted their seniors and their juniors. LSU said, no, we're gonna allow those kids to move on, and we're going to bring in a entire freshman class. LSU brought in 15 freshmen this year, as opposed to most of the schools brought in a 5 to 7 radius of freshmen. They started, they rotated in starting rotation. They had 3 freshmen that started consistently over 50 games. No one else can say that. Paul Mainieri, he didn't roll a dice. He trusted Nolan Kane in the process, and that's what's paying off right now for them, that those guys are gelling together right now at the right time.
You've had a front row seat to kind of see that process too, right, to come on in, get adjusted to it, and, oh, by the way, a conference that's absurd in terms of the amount of teams that are competitive. Paul Mainieri told us that right before the season started on this show, that there's so many teams that could either win the national championship or are going to contend. So from your perspective, though, seeing your son come in as a freshman, how big of an adjustment legitimately is that? Even though the fact that, again, he has those accolades, but how hard was it?
Well, it's the journey. You know, he put in the work. You know, he overcame. He decided that this is what he wanted to do. You know, speaking on Trey, I had firsthand access to him to put in the man hours that it took to get him to where he is. And he made the sacrifices as well. You know that, Gus. It takes a lot of sacrifices. Mm-hmm. I mean, he got up from a couple of really, really injuries that I've seen taken most players out of the game totally, where that ignited his flame, you know. And then the people around him, he had a great supporting staff. I mean, he had a really, really, really good staff around him, really great people to encourage him and to train him and rehab him to get to the point where he is today. Yes, absolutely.
Speaking of John Morgan, father of Trey Morgan, you know, Derek from Big Easy Sportsplex over there, I've known him for several years. He's doing the show out of there. So seeing all of the kids, man, that have come out of, you know, just this area and have had that, it's just I have a 4-year-old, John. So, you know, I'm teasing Derek.
I love it. I love it.
Dude, I'll send him a video. I'm like, look, he threw it across the driveway. Yes. I'm like, look what he did, man. What do you think? What should I do? Because it does start early, and it's that fine balance of keeping it love, but also maybe, I guess, realizing, hey, maybe you got a little something here. So kind of take us back to when you thought, hey, maybe I need some specialized training, or maybe I follow this in. What made you sort of think that Trey could maybe be in a situation where, as a freshman, he's 2 wins away from going to Omaha?
My wife. My wife wouldn't let me my wife wouldn't let me get up. Shalita wouldn't let up on me with Trey. I mean, we have 3 kids, so, you know, the first one, she didn't really want to pursue sports, but Trey didn't really. He came out with some options, and he didn't want to be a quarterback, as I was, so I said, okay, you don't want to be a quarterback, well, let's just try this baseball thing and see how this works out. I said, well, how good do you want to be? He said, I want to be the best that I could possibly be, and we took it from there. He really said he wanted to be the best, so he and I really, really worked on the craft of baseball. I behind Eddie Davis at the MLB Sports Academy. Eddie and I got together. Eddie has a son as well. We put together a team, and that started it till Trey was about 8. Then we met Derek DeLotte, who looked at Trey and thought he was 12 years old. And I said, no, he's 9. So, you know, that helped. And then Joey Cabaceras, Big Easy. You know, they were getting their business started. So what better way to start a business than to have a really, really good player as your anchor, as your foundation? And we build from there. You know, don't, as I would say to all parents, Gus, as you being a father of a 4-year-old, don't be afraid to let your kid fail. Whether it's sports, whether it's the clarinet, whether it's the drum, don't be afraid. If they fall down, let's see how they get up. Let's see how they get up. Do you get up, run to mama? Do you dust them off, and they go back out there and play 5 minutes later? That's what you want to see. That's the kind of kid Trey is. Trey never put a ceiling to his ability, as you can see now. I mean, he wants more. He wants more. We talked to a writer recently, and Omaha was his goal. And now it's Omaha, now it's winning it. Right. They really believe that they should have won that Tennessee series. I talked to my son in depth. I talked to him very candidly about that series, and he said, we have to learn to finish. We have to learn to close. And what better way where there's closure on both ends than to meet Tennessee at this pivotal point in your season, where both teams are really peaking at this time, not taking away anything from Tennessee, but sure. The momentum is really coming out of Baton Rouge right now. I could sound biased, I could sound partial, but the momentum is coming out of Baton Rouge. To come off of a one and done in the SEC tournament and then face elimination, staff it off four straight times in Oregon with the Pac-12 player of the year on the team and in that environment, go on the road and say, hey, not knowing anything about Gonzaga. I mean, you guys know the story. They did not disappoint, and they want their coach to be around to go out on top. So regardless of how it finishes, they basically put themselves in contention to really become a memorable story for Coach Mineri as one of his best teams, as young as they are.
Yep, no doubt. Speaking with John Morgan, Father Trey Morgan, the Tigers' first baseman. John, I think it's interesting you bring that up in terms of failure and success. I literally had that conversation Wednesday with my wife in the backyard after I mowed the lawn. We were talking about our kid, too, and I was just in general, though, in life, in business. Your greatest successes come from failures. I mean, you're trying for the vaccine, right? How many failures until you found the one that worked? I mean, that's wow. I mean, in all seriousness, to succeed, how many bad shows did I have? I mean, you have to fail so you learn. That all said, I also love how you went through the process in terms of the coaching, the hours, and I know what that means, John. That's weekends, that's trips, that's travel ball, that's money, that's time, and all of that to get into that. All that said, did you think Trey would have the kind of success this season that he's had?
Trey is a goal-oriented individual. We taught him that at an early age, and that's, again, we write down, make a mental contract with yourself. Write down your goals. Write down what you want to achieve. Let's look at them, and let's revisit them. If you achieve that goal, it doesn't mean that it was too low. Let's cross that off, and let's put the one. Let's increase that. Let's double that goal again. Trey had every goal written down that was accomplished, other than the Freshman of the Year award that was written down in his book. He was past that. He was already writing in Omaha. He had already written that into his goals. He had already written in that he was going to lead LSU in hitting. And these are not things that are boastful or bragful. But when you're around your kid, you're around your kid right now, Gus, at 4 years old. This kid, you're formulating. You're actually the sculptor for his young mind right now, and what he can achieve. And that's how Trey is to this day. That's the kind of person he is. He's not going to be boastful and brashful about it. Mm-hmm. He's just going to go out there and he's going to perform. He's going to methodically dissect what he is trying to do. And does it always work out? Absolutely not. He has failed more times than he has succeeded. But the thing is, the amount of times that he's gotten up is what we're applauding right now. Mm-hmm. The will that he has exhibited is unmatched for that young man, and that the sky's the limit for all those young men at this level. You know, to get at this level, the 1% that's playing at this level, it's incredible. I applaud all of them because I know the sacrifices that have to be made, the parties that have to be forgiven. Trey taught himself how to ride a bike. Trey taught himself how to swim because these weren't things that were in the forefront to get to this point of his game. And he wanted to be a phenomenal baseball player. And, you know, he still has more work to do, a lot more work to do to get to the point where he wants to be based on the conversation that we had just yesterday. So just a lot of fun, a lot of sacrifices, a lot of fun. And when it's your kid, Gus, you know. You'll make a way for him. The finances and things of that, the sacrifices, the parents have to make as well. So you make that way for that kid's dream to come true, because it's that kid's dream. It's not our dream. It's his dream. And
no doubt.
That's how we look at it.
It is fun. And you're making me feel like at least I'm somewhat on the, you know, at least on the road. I'm not going to say the right path, but I'll say this, John. I've had that conversation with Carver already about trying, not quitting. You know, our cat and girls don't quit. I mean, like, I've done that. Like, you just try, whether it's a no thank you bite when it comes to food or when things don't happen. I literally say, find a way. Find out how to turn that on. Find out where it puts it in. So. Yeah, but you're right, though. You shape it, man. Look, I got about 90 seconds left in this segment. Again, thank you for your time. Just this series, man. All that work, everything you just said, but here you go.
Yeah.
I mean, you've watched games in Omaha. You've watched Super Regionals. You're now going to get to watch your son in this. You think the kids are going to Omaha?
It's surreal. It's surreal right now. I will tell you, based on how they're playing, they're going to play like they have nothing to lose. You know, if Tennessee, for whatever reason, if they're out there, if they think for one reason that they have a tomorrow, all they have to do is look at the Oregon outcome. Mm-hmm. They don't have a tomorrow. LSU knows that they don't have a tomorrow. They're going to play like their tomorrow is today. They're going to go out there and scrap. And you've been watching them. If they The first time that I've seen it is the cohesiveness that they're taking ownership of each other. They're smiling at each other, and they're going in. They're going in with one common goal. We can win. We can win. They know they can win. So it's baseball. It's in Tennessee. And like the guy before you said, this is the environment you want to be in. This is what we signed up for. So I will be in my Tiger purple and gold. I guarantee that. My family, we will be up there. We have the Trey Fathead. We'll be swinging it. We're going for it. We're all in.
We'll be looking for you on TV, sir. I appreciate the time. Thank you. I know it's a busy time, man, but it's also a fun and exciting time. Go enjoy the hard work.
It is.
Congratulations.
No doubt. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Trey and you all got
it. Just have a good one. Thank you.
For sure, man. Thank you. John Morgan, father of Mr. Trey Morgan. Had so far a very successful freshman season for the Tigers. And if that doesn't pump you up, man, in more ways than one, not just on the diamond, but off the diamond, the importance, man, of being there as a father. Again, I just take that. It is a job, but take it seriously and enjoy it. Mr. Ollie Cosell, I enjoy speaking with him. We'll talk a little NBA basketball next on ESPN New Orleans. How can
I explain? Archie Manning here for Thibodeau Regional. In the Manning household, we're pretty serious about sports. And just like the team at the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeau Regional, we're also very serious about sports safety. As the region's leader in First Comprehensive Sports Medicine Program, they've been in the game longer with certified athletic trainers, fellowship-trained sports medicine physicians, and neuro-sports-trained experts. So play hard, play to win, but play it safe with the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeau Regional.
It's time for some straight talk. Sure, saving money feels good, but cutting your wireless bill in half, that feels really good. Like walk-off home run in the ninth inning kind of good. Okay, maybe not that good, but pretty darn good. With Straight Talk, you can get 25 gigs of high-speed data for $45 a month, up to 50% less than the other guys, plus no contract. All on America's best networks. Why pay a whole lot when you could pay half? Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
This year, make Dad's day with gifts from the Home Depot. Save on all the best ideas by shopping in-store or on the app. Choose from new innovative tools, top-rated grills, or even the latest smart cameras and devices for your home. Because what dad doesn't love? New gear. The best gifts for the best dads. And you'll find them all at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. See store for details. Restrictions apply.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Only one performance a day.
So let's get this show on the road, eh?
Now back to The Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back. We're flying through hour number one. Did you watch both games last night, Jordan Kleber, a.k.a. the intern?
I did. The second one was a little bit hard because my eyes were getting a little bit heavy.
Oh, is that what I was? But you all capital letters replied when you saw this.
Kyrie feeds Brown, floater in the lane, short. Giannis rips down the board. 19 seconds to go. Shot clock is off, down one. Season might be on the brink. Spinning move. Holiday scores for the lead with 11 seconds to go. Timeout, Brooklyn.
That is Drew Holiday, Mr. Ali Cosell. I apologize for texting you into the wee hours of the morning last night. I was excited. At O-L-E-H-K-O-S-E-L, Editor-in-Chief of The Bird Right. Sir, how are you today?
I'm doing great. And Gus, that's quite all right. You know I'm up watching just like you, and that was two excellent, actually great games.
Yeah, you
love
know,
it.
I mean, there's benefits.
Playoffs. We were talking about that.
Yes, there's benefits to texting me into the wee hours of the morning, Jordan, because I invited Ali to come 2 weekends from now to be a part of the pellet grill. Yes, I'm probably going to be pellet grilling for every weekend from here on out. But dude, so let's get to game one for Drew Holiday. That series, it was remarkable. You had like a 4 minute stretch there where neither team can make a shot. But Ali, I don't think it was coincidence. It was the old ISO thing, man, and it's so hard to do that. You heard Jeff Van Gundy commenting, you're making it easy for the defense. It sounded like watching a Pelicans game when the offense went flat. So it doesn't matter what team. ISO ball, unless those shots are going in, can stagnate your offense.
Without a doubt, and this has plagued Milwaukee for what now, in the third year, going on to where there's expectations they should go deep in the playoffs, mm-hmm. and they failed the last two, and who knows this time around, but it doesn't look good. I know that they won last night, but, boy, they got really fortunate winning that game. Chris Middleton made a ton of shots late. Nets, for some inexplicable reason, gave Drew Holiday a pretty clear avenue. I mean, it was a great move that he made, but clearly they weren't guarding him. Kevin Durant, he was on a weak side, could have come over for a block. He never even moved, so Drew got that layup. But they got lucky because Kevin Durant only scored 30 points on 28 shots. I remember looking. Joe Harris couldn't get him a bucket. Right. Irving wasn't Kyrie Irving, right, that 30-plus point score. And really it was just Brown for them, right, Bruce Brown. Other than that, they got no production from anybody else. So winning an 86-83 game, hope Milwaukee doesn't count on doing that too much because the Nets, they're going to probably score 120 or more in game four.
I had flashbacks, Ollie, watching Giannis go 1-for-8 from beyond the arc. And Todd's like, but they're wide open. I'm like, why is he shooting it? Because I had flashbacks of AD, early AD, before he became a three-point. That's just fine. But you're Giannis. And like, we talked, Jordan, yesterday. Was it Kyle Berger? Or it was somebody from the New York area.
Oh, Brian Mahoney.
Brian Mahoney. And I asked him, what's the one weakness the Nets have? He said, well, they play small. Why is Giannis shooting threes? I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like the one weakness they have is down low. Get in there. I was just yelling at the TV. I'm like, what are you doing, man?
I think all of us were. I was too, Gus. Look, playoffs, you got to go with a high percentage of plays. And Giannis, he knows full well in his head that making three-point shots or even long perimeter jumpers, long twos, is not his game. And you're right, when the opponent is playing small and then you see Giannis, you know, initiating the offense from the outside, and, you know, pulling up for jumpers, say 40% of the time, then Brook Lopez is sitting in the corner, it's defeating the whole purpose of being big. I know defensively they fared pretty well.
Right.
We saw that last night. But offensively, I mean, look, Steven Adams, Willie Hernan Gomez last year, they're not dominators by any stretch of imagination, but you give them some space on the inside, they're going to take advantage of it. That's what you're supposed to do with your size. Right, when teams go small, carve them up. And Milwaukee didn't do it, but they got away with it. Like I said, Middleton was amazing. I think he made, what, 4 buckets in the last 2.5 minutes or something?
Yeah, no.
Four big jumpers.
He won the game for them. Look, I'm telling you right now, I love the graph. He'd have been taking the Turo or Ochsner or somebody because you mentioned Brook Lopez. He's your center. On the night, he was 1-for-7. Jordan, he was 1-for-5 from three-point land. Do the math. 5 of his 7 shots were from beyond distance. The center. I honestly don't
know. It's Friday,
know.
Gus. It's Friday.
It is. You're right.
Chill.
You're right. But 2-for-14 from your two tallest players. What are you doing? Anyway, sorry, Ollie. But Drew Holiday,
no,
good to see him do that. Exactly.
Now, I just want to say Blake Griffin was guarding Giannis, right? So who's on Brook Lopez? Durant or somebody smaller, and you couldn't get him just a couple touches in the paint? That would have changed maybe the complexion of the second half for me, right? So anyways. But, yeah, Drew, I thought he had his worst game. You know, he looked a lot like Drew that we saw in Pelicans uniform when he wasn't having a good game offensively, and then he just wouldn't look for a shot the rest of the game. And they needed that.
I want to play this because I have referenced you several times this week already about the tweet that you had the last time the Clippers and Jazz played about Donovan Mitchell. They get the win yesterday. He's been absurd. He had this to say after the game.
Yeah, there's going to be adversity. You know, we're not going to always blow them out, blow teams out. You know, it's the playoffs. You know, it was great when being up 21, but at the end of the day, they executed like they should. They've been here before. You have guys who've been to the finals, been in the playoffs, have rings, have championships. So this isn't nothing they haven't seen before. So for us, it's like, okay, you know, they made a run, but how do we counter that? You know, and I give our group, I think when I came out at the 7-minute mark, like that group, you know, going on that run was huge. And I think not just for myself, but as a team, I think we understand how to handle these things, you know, and I think that was what you saw today. Tonight. And, you know, I think definitely the experience from the bubble definitely helped. You know, we understood, okay, this is what we're doing. You know, having flashbacks to certain instances and we kind of relate and having the same core group, we know exactly how these things work. So for us, it's continuing to do what we do and understanding they're going to punch back. We got to continue to fight and continue to do what we do.
Ollie, I could play that all day. That's the chasm difference between the Pelicans and Jazz, the team that is on top of the Western Conference. It's not only, yes, the talent, you see that, but it's the mentality. The fact that Quinn Snyder and also, you know, Monty Williams, who the Suns play tonight, talked about their defense are leading the way. Mm-hmm. These are people that I texted you last night. This is a pro basketball team. And when you hear that guy speak like that, as young as he is, that's where you see why Zion said we're not close. And that's not to be ugly, but you have to see what it takes to get in there, man. And, man, they're a pro team. They're good.
Yeah, and I texted you. It's not a fluke. The Suns and the Jazz were 1-2, right, to finish a regular season. And we're seeing it now in these playoffs. Jazz, they have a superstar. I really believe Donovan Mitchell, for me, in the top 10, one of the top 10 players in the NBA. Guy you would want to build around, you could rely upon, put him on any team, surround with any teammates. You could trust that guy to probably do better than, you know, pretty much the rest of the NBA outside of 9 guys. And we saw that last night, right? He started the game on fire. The Jazz jumped all over the Clippers. I want to say Donovan had a quick 6 buckets, you know, in the first 8 minutes of the game. And he paced them. He made sure it was another one of those, we're not going to lose. And the Jazz, but it's more than Donovan, though, as you're alluding to. They play their role so well. If you look at the box score, who took all the shots? All the guys that are the scorers, right? Jordan Clarkson had another good game. He shot the second most. Ingles, Bogdanovich, they're your other perimeter scorers. They got, you know, just as many shots, I think, as the rest of the combined Jazz players I'm not even talking about. So they play all their roles so perfectly, right? Royce O'Neal, he's their junkyard dog. Rudy Gobert now knows that he has to defend the paint.
That's it.
To make sure he's the anchor everywhere, and he doesn't need his buckets anymore. So I just love the way that team plays. And you can say the same thing about the Suns. Right? The way DeAndre Ayton has been guarding Jokic. You got Mikal Bridges and Crowder on the wings just doing all that defensive dirty work. As to where Chris Paul, Booker, they handle the offense. Beautiful basketball. But you're right. The Pelicans don't really have any of this established. You don't have the superstar you can rely on in the final 5 minutes. You don't have the defensive genius or the one that can hopefully shut somebody down. And, of course, the cohesiveness, right? It's just not there yet.
And I think that's the thing, man. That's why it's so important, Ollie, when we bring it back to the Pelicans, we'll get closer on this when we get closer to the draft, is you have to find your core. You just heard Donovan Mitchell say, we know what everybody does. We know who we are, and we go back to those experiences. So hopefully next year, the, you know, what is it? I forgot. 12, 13, 14, 15 games that you led by double digits. Hopefully they'll go back to that, and you'll see them build on that. But you still got to figure out the core. You got to figure out the roles, and then you got to find the cast. It's a process, and I think you're seeing it. But You know, you mentioned Chris Paul and the Suns and what that team does as well. Again, Monty Williams, during one of the in-game interviews, he keeps mentioning his defense. Quinn Snyder keeps mentioning his defense. We heard all season long from Stan Van Gundy, yeah, that's great. Our offense is great. We're not going to be a good team until we play defense. So if the young Pelicans are watching, you may not buy what Stan Van Gundy is telling you about defense, but the two top coaches in the West are telling you their teams are there because of team defense.
And they're absolutely right. Just look at any year in past seasons, what it's taken for the teams that, say, just to get into the second round of playoffs. You got to play on both sides of the ball, and especially your team leaders. And I hate to say it, but Zion and Brandon Ingram, as SVG said, they got to become two-way players in this league. And this year, they were far from it.
Yeah, that's a very good point. We'll talk a lot more about that, man, as things go. Looking forward to having you over to the Casa de Kattengill, sir.
Oh, without a doubt. I can't wait. Grill Master, I've heard so much about you.
Oh, I'm telling you, I am ready. I am absolutely ready. Going to try to put it together after the show. We'll see. At OLEHKOSEL, Mr. Ali Kosel, Editor-in-Chief of the Bird Rights. Thank you, sir. Enjoy the weekend. We only have a segment left in hour number one.
I know that.
Where did it go?
Flew by.
Incredible. Questions of the day. I don't know. Tweets, texts, what have you. We'll address that next on ESPN New Orleans. Woman is my destiny. She said,
join us for our Memorial Day sales event going on now until June 1st at Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat in Houma. Get a great deal on a Ram truck today. See all their new commercial trucks and vans. Southland has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram truck or van at Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Houma. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Energize your business with Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. When you're elbow deep in a job, the last thing you need is to lose time and money fetching electrical supplies. Bayou Black Electric will deliver your items to the job site. There's daily scheduled service throughout South Louisiana, Lafourche, Terrebonne, Morgan City, New Iberia, and Lafayette, plus the river parishes too. If you need parts, call Bayou Black Electric Supply, 985-223-8807, Highway 311 in Houma.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Some people just have a knack for being there when you need them the most. Like your third grade classmate who sticks up for you against that bully. The neighbor who gives you a jump start. And the friend who chases away that flock of geese at your outdoor wedding. Your State Farm agent has your back too, through good times and the not so good. And who's got your agent's back? State Farm, the company people have trusted for more than 90 years. We're here to help life go right.
Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and cut off today at 985-632-0988.
Come on, citizen!
What are you waiting for?
Pick up the phone.
We want you to be on the show.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Gus Kattengill, Jordan Kleber in Metric. Back over in the LaRose studios. At least I can guarantee probably for the next 2 hours and 10 minutes. After that, I don't know where Buddy's going to go. So, but in the meantime, Buddy will take your phone calls. 800-998-1003. The Super Regionals have begun. Game one of four today, Jordan, is Vanderbilt and ECU. Go ahead and give us an update, sir.
Yeah, bottom of the sixth, Vanderbilt still leads East Carolina 1-0. And again, at the bottom of the sixth, that's the first game of the Super Regionals.
Other games coming up today?
Yeah, so the second game of the day is Stanford at Texas Tech. Third game of the day is NC State at Arkansas, and then the final game of the day at 8 o'clock p.m. Central Time, you have Ole Miss against Arizona. So that should be a good matchup to end off the night.
Arizona and Ole Miss, the winner of that Super Regional, will face the winner of ECU Vandy in the College World Series per the bracket that I just saw on ESPN. Mm-hmm. So to kind of give you an idea of how that bracket is setting up in that situation there. And again, interesting when you look at ECU and Vandy, both head coaches. been bantered about from the Tiger faithful or reporters or people that cover the LSU baseball program as their head coaches, possible candidates to be. So that's why I'm keeping an eye on this game. ECU, best team in the American Athletic Conference this year, and Vandy's been pretty good. And you know, when we talked yesterday with Wilson Alexander, it's something to keep in mind, too, as well, Jordan. If you're building a winning program, or if you're the guy, like O'Sullivan at Florida, and again, from what Wilson and others have been saying, there's things there. You have an ex-wife, you have kids, is everyone willing to leave the state? There's a lot of different areas that maybe prevented that from happening. Same thing with Vandy, though, right? He's become the guy there, Corbin. Mm-hmm. You're signing up. I was having this conversation with a good friend of mine. Earl, I'll get to you in about 60 seconds. The second you take this job, fireyourname.com is going to be published. It's just what it is. I mean, it is. We joke about it every year. February 20th.
Fire Paul Menary.
Firepaulmenary.com.
Happens every year.
I mean, it happens at the message boards already the first midweek game the Tigers lose.
Paul Menary doesn't know how to rotate his pitchers.
And to an extent, we've heard from some callers this week, and I get it. It's just, I don't think they're aware, and Wilson brought it up, that yesterday was, what was it, the 15th, 20th anniversary or whatever of Warren Morris, his home run. And we're not even in Omaha yet. It's harder now to get there. The SEC, who's the number one seed this year? Overall, Arkansas. Vandy's a good team. Florida's won national championships. Mississippi State's not a bad program, right? I mean, Tennessee's in a super region. You're not walking in to Omaha anymore. Anybody. And especially in that conference, I keep saying to people, look at it like football, right? I mean, it's easy for football fans in the SEC to look at it and be like, it's the toughest guy. They say that, right? It's the toughest conference. Well, look at the baseball teams. Look at the top 25, the top 10, the top 5. Look who's
it's
hosting
not just
regionals.
The SEC.
Look who's hosting super regionals. Yeah. It's the SEC.
Well,
so
not,
it's a lot of
a
them.
Lot of them. But
my point, though, is you have to get out of there. You have to survive that. You have to get through it. So I'm just saying, I'm a guy that's in another conference. I know I'm probably going to win every year. It's just an interesting thing. Do you want that? Do you want to be under other people's shadows? Do you want your own legacy? Right? You drive on campus. That's Skip Bertman's program he built. In the meantime, you've had Laval and Manera. You get what I'm getting at? The next coach will be in line, but Skip Bertman's a guy. And other programs that are being successful and they're going to Omaha every year, they're contending and they're hosting super regionals, you're that guy. The field, that stadium, not the pressure. You know? I don't know. Earl, thank you for giving us a call here today, sir, on the Sports Hangover. What you got?
Hey, Goose.
Hey, man.
You got a pool I could borrow, or Jordan, or somebody's got a...
Dude, it's hot. It's hot today, man. I'm just... You know, it is what it is, man. How you doing?
You got your shirt on or off, Goose? In the
I got a tank
studio.
Top.
He does have a tank top.
I have
on.
A tank top. I wear a lot of sleeveless, man, around this time.
You know, Graf says it, man. You always got the guns out, man. I don't blame you. Hey, Goose, I've heard now they saying the East Carolina guy, they had some baggage with him, too. So, mm-hmm. I mean, be careful what you wish for. A lot of my friends, firemen, area, this and that. But, man, who are we going to get now? I mean,
I thought it was interesting. I don't know if you heard the Jacques Doucet interview, but it was interesting. Jordan, did you catch it when he said, you know, they told him this would be it after this season to Paul Menary?
Yes.
And then he was like, well, what if the best guy to coach your team is the guy who's currently coaching your team? That sure as heck didn't sound like, you know, it's time to, you know, I'm a little tired or my neck hurts, which is what we've been hearing. Yeah. That was very interesting he
it's
said
just
that.
It's time to hang it up.
And I'm just going to tell you, if you don't think Jacques knows what he's saying, go look at his timeline on Twitter. The guy just happens to know when Kim Mularkey walks on campus. He's the only one with the video.
He's basically in the locker room.
Yeah, he knows his stuff.
When stuff happens.
He knows his stuff, man. So I thought that was interesting that he said it like that.
Goose, Mineri's done 100%, right? Pretty much. Yes.
He said he's retired.
Yeah. I tell you, with everything going on, it seems like everybody's got some skeletons in their closet. Man,
Jordan?
I tell you what, my guy, Goose, I wouldn't mind Cannizzaro, man. I think he'd be a hell of a coach. I know LSU probably wouldn't hire him again, but he's a damn good coach, and he's a damn good hitting coach. I don't know what your thoughts on that, but and I think he's coaching high school ball right now.
I would say this, Earl. He had a tremendous opportunity at Mississippi State. The world was his oyster. Do people get second chances? Sure. But we just saw in the last 48 hours, 24 hours, really, not even 48. I promise you that's probably why Pat Casey didn't get the job. Again, he visited campus per Wilson Alexander yesterday. He came to Baton Rouge, visited, and Matt Moscona, opening segment, I was listening. When I left the studio yesterday, said an offer had been given. So why is he not the head baseball coach? I'll tell you why. It's because I think the campus, and maybe he saw on social media the amount of people that brought up that past. And if that's the case, that, unfortunately, I think is going to haunt Cannizzaro.
Hey, Goose, real quick. I bet you 99, now we're going to like a second tier, and no disrespect to Bianco, but I'm thinking he's going to be the guy. And my thing is, they always seem to choke in the big games, Gus.
Well, here's my thing I want to bring up, Earl, because you mentioned second tier. I'm not saying you're wrong or anything like that, but and that's why what I said yesterday, I think applies even more after I hear you say that, is it's only second tier, or it starts getting the perception of people don't want your job when the leaks come out or the big names or something that happens, which is why I said from the onset, this is a job that you should be able to pick a very good baseball coach. And it's a job that I promise you, in other places, they would love to come here. Take your time. Figure out apparently you've had all year. So that's the thing that Matt was saying yesterday. You've had all season to know that at this time you're going to try to get it. And right now it's starting to look like the Tom Herman thing. You know, who wants to coach? You got to find, I guess, Ed Ogeron. Look, and again, at the end of the Jacques Doucet interview, in which he said, Earl, you know, maybe you give one of his assistants the interim job for a year, and then you wait to figure out and see and the program settles and see where it goes. I don't think that's coincidence he said that either, because the other thing that stood out to me in that interview, he said, it seems like you have the old saying, a lot of chiefs in a teepee. A lot of heads of the table, you know, everyone wants an opinion. And that's difficult when that happens, because everybody knows a guy who supports a guy. And when you have that many guys involved in it, it gets messy. And that's why I said it from the onset. What do you want? It's a question of the day we threw out yesterday. What do you think you want? I want a guy that's hungry, up and coming, hasn't been supported. And to him, this is a major league job. This is a job that he will not leave, not retire. So I'm looking for 10, 15, 20 years, which means I'm looking for a relatively younger guy. Winning, as people have brought up, you know, winning, you know, CWSs. Jacques just told us KC's the most in the last 20 years with 3. So this belief that LSU baseball fans have that you're going to find a guy that's going to take you to Omaha 7 out of 9 years and win 5 doesn't exist. No, it doesn't exist. Yeah. So what do I want? I want a guy that is young and hungry, can develop players, because everyone's going to suffer injuries. I want a guy that understands I may lose players because of the draft, because of the quality of players I have. I want a guy that understands the competition level that I'm going in as well. A mind of the game, can understand small ball, all those things, and see the trends that college baseball has right now. So to me, I go find somebody like that.
Hey, Goose, y'all have a good week, man. I'm going to find a pool, baby.
I hear you, my man. Take care. Jimmy, I'll get to you right when we start hour number 2. Promise. Hour 1's been brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King. 504-909-KING. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Guys, waking up over and over to pee is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to pee at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying. That's why Super Beta Prostate is the number one prostate supplement recommended by urologists. You can try a full 30-day bottle free. Just pay shipping and handling.